Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Middle class children are annoying. There you go. I said it. Now, on the weekend, me and him indoors decided to go to a trendy bit of town because I wanted poached eggs. And if I want poached eggs, I'm having poached eggs and I'm not wasting my life swirling around bits of water in a pan. By the by. Now, whilst I was there, I was unfortunately subjected to what I believe to be the entire middle-class preteen population of the surrounding postcode. Each and every one of these whiny teenage pricks demanding cronuts and kombucha from the waiters, whilst insisting that they be seen, heard and valued by their stupid fucking parents. And it was at this point that I thought to myself, what is it actually? What is it that has made these two grown-up people think their genetics are so important to civilization that they were compelled to breed, not once, not twice, but three times, creating smaller, but yet miraculously, even more precocious versions of themselves? And why? Why are they all, you know, the parents, their village of children, and the two Italian greyhounds, why are they all wearing the same poxy dungarees?
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
Welcome back, you gorgeous bunch of assholes. It's me, Scotty. I mean, you should technically know that by now, because otherwise, I mean, if that's news to you, who do you think's been speaking to you for the last while? I mean, if you squint, some people do say I look like Sam Smith having a panic attack. Anyway, hello, how are you, etc, etc, etc. We're back with yet another round of this thing, and what a show we have coming up for you. On today's show, Holly from North Carolina is back and has some international news. Yes, please, Kathy. And someone shits on a plastic bag. Oh, for fuck's sake. Debbie, what do you mean someone shits on a plastic bag? What? Please, could we just have 1 week where we go without hearing about everybody shitting all over the place? Because there's me trying my absolute hardest, actually, to make this highbrow. Yes, highbrow. Trying to make this like a fucking cultural podcast that, you know, that Stephen Fry fella shits himself at and thinks, oh, that's very arty. That's good. That was a lovely idea. I might give Scotty a call. Sounds like a lovely person. You know, in some circles, Debbie, people call me an artist. Yeah. And I'd like to be an award-winning artist, actually. I'd like this podcast to win a BAFTA. What do you mean they don't do fucking BAFTAs for podcasts? Do you know what? This podcast is going to be so good, they're actually going to invent a podcast BAFTA award thing. Please, can we just have 1 week where we get some people who get through who've got actually control over their fucking bowels? Is that too much to ask for?
Hi, Scotty and all the After the Tone crew. I'm a first-time caller. I've only recently discovered the podcast, and I'm proud to say that I've listened to every single episode within the space of about a month. I think I must be a glutton for punishment. I don't know how I didn't discover it earlier, as I'm a fat trans woman, but I'm absolutely loving it. My pronouns are she, her, by the way. Anyway, I'm calling with a shit story. So I've recently moved into a flat of my own. It's my first time ever living alone after leaving a shitty relationship. Basically, it's an old building and the plumbing is a little bit dodgy. Now, being a fat woman, I have never met a toilet that I haven't blocked. So it didn't take long for me to block this toilet. And in the space of about 6 weeks, I had four separate plumbers come out. And anyway, the last plumber decided that the system needed to be replaced. So for 2 days, I couldn't use my toilet or shower because they were both fully backed up with human sewage. So every time I needed to shit for those 2 days, I had to spread a bin bag out on the bathroom floor, squat down and shit on the floor. So that was really dehumanising. You know, good thing I've got a good sense of humour about these types of things. So yeah, my dustbin was full of shit and that was great. So hope you enjoyed my story. Thanks. Bye.
There's so much here to unpack, but we're going to first start with FTCORDTP. First time caller, only recently discovered the podcast. Honestly, these are getting ridiculous. I think it would just be easier if we gave people badges. Now, I really like the fact that people are really setting out their shop this series. They're like, here is who I am, here are my things, just so you know. And you're right, being a fat trans person, you should definitely have found this place a bit quicker. You're more than welcome to take your shoes off and stay a while, but don't you go anywhere near my bathroom floor. Now, a little joke that some of my trans friends have is they actually identify not as fat trans, but as trans fat. You're welcome. Now, when you said you had four plumbers over, I thought, I've seen films that start like this. First off, can we just say congratulations on leaving a shitty relationship? That's a round of applause there for doing things for yourself that you know in the long run are going to be good, but probably in the short term were quite difficult. Now, I understand living in an older gaff, dodgy plumbing, I get all of this bit. I don't get why toilets out for 2 days. The natural link in your head was, well, got a shit in a plastic bag then. I don't understand. I mean, is there no pubs nearby? Could you not have a shit at work? How many shits are you having a day? I mean, why, Debbie, why does this podcast make me ask people these sort of questions? Anyway, I've also got questions about what sort of bag, what bag, because I want to know the density of the plastic. I mean, you must be doing it in bags for life. Surely. And that's quite expensive thing, you know, like 25p every time you want to have a dump. You're spending more than a penny. Well, person, thank you so much for coming. Do I like your story? Like would be a strong word, but am I happy that you are here more than over the moon?
Hi, Scotty. I'm Emma, long-term listener, first-time caller. Love the show. Love listening to the pub. Hi, everyone. I wanted to talk about fat panic. I got a tattoo the other week and I was so terrified the whole time that I was going to break the guy's tiny table. And I mentioned it to a friend who's a lot smaller than me. And she just had no idea what I was going on about. And I thought, there's so much fat panic, especially in the summer, like being sweaty, having to walk with quick walkers, chub rub, rashes, all of that stuff. And I just wanted to ask the room really if anyone has any like great tips for fat panic in the summer. For me, it's cycling shorts, cotton ones under anything that I wear really, and liquid talc. So I just wondered if anyone had any remedies for summer fat panic. Love you guys.
Oh, hello, person. Oh my God, yeah, me too. Now, I've got a very lovely tattooist person that likes to draw on me. I mean, I've really just debased the whole lot of tattooing there, haven't I? Just like, there's a bit of a doodle on me. And every time I go there, I mean, lovely, really sound. The first time I approached the table, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because I'll just sit on the chair, you know, and then also, anyway, we'll get to chairs in a minute. And He was so lovely about it. It was just like, oh, well, if it breaks, it breaks, doesn't it? Sometimes I think it's more helpful to accept the jeopardy rather than sort of pretend that it might not be a thing that happened. And, you know, like that thing that non-fat people can do sometimes, which is like, oh, no, you're not fat. You know, it brings up all that conversation. And you're like, oh, just go fuck yourself, because I know I'm a big fat effer. I just need to know whether or not I can sit on this thing. The other thing is chairs. Like, me and my fat friends would go out. Other non-fat people don't understand this. You do a little like scoop of the chairs, because you look at the table that you're about to sit on and you think, well, particularly in these sort of trendy places, you know, that do flat whites with pea milk, because apparently that's a thing. You know, you go in and they've all got like rickety vintage chairs because, you know, thin people just don't give a shit about what they sit on. But you look for chairs that got handles, you know, side bits that like they think caress your fat, but actually just sort of modern day torture objects for fat people. So I totally see it from that. I think because I've been on thinking about this for a long time, and, you know, let's call it as it is, I am a smaller fat, that some of these things don't affect me in ways that they affect my friends, because my fat sits in other places. But I do know, I have it on good authority, from a very large demographic of people, not from a large person, from a large demographic of people, that these things that they sell you to like rub between your legs and stuff like that, they don't really work. So, because I get chub rub right at the top, I quite often like to wear a high-waisted trouser, or to wear me trousers higher. So then it means that the bit in the middle... Oh, my God, I'm trying to describe trousers on the radio. Anyway, I just wear my trousers like higher. So, listen, this is a really great moment to ask other fat people to show some solidarity. How are you, dear fat person, going to survive the hot months? What do you do with fat panic? How have you experienced it? Get on the blower, offer this person some solidarity. Let's get this conversation going.
Hey, Scotty, and everybody in the pub. This is Holly calling from North Carolina, but very soon to be Holly calling from Montreal. I had a job interview while you were on vacation in Montreal. They flew me out. It was wonderful. And yesterday they called to offer me the job, and I'm just overjoyed to be able to come back to Canada, to be able to live in a big city again. It's going to be great. And I just wanted to share that joy with y'all. Look forward to more Canadian and international calls in the future. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.
Holly from North Carolina. Congratulations. That deserves a round. Come on. That deserves a round of applause, because, you know, at the moment, doing anything that goes beyond breathing and going for a piss, or as our first caller was, shitting on a plastic bag. I mean, 10 points to be able to ace things like that, you know, absolutely. So congratulations, lovely. Montreal. Now, I know nothing about it, so we're going to look it up. Montreal. Oh, why don't we give you a little bit of information about the place that you probably know loads more about, but, you know, other people might not. Is it French? Oh, God, I'm getting myself into a right builder there. But sorry, I mean, is it French speaking? Is Celine Dion from there? That's what I want to know. Okay, Montreal was founded in 1642. Apparently, nothing was there before 1642. Montreal is referred to as Canada's cultural capital. Oh, maybe I should go. Okay, I'm just going to Google Montreal Celine Dion. No, I can confirm Celine Dion's not from there. She's from Quebec, from another bit. Oh, and her husband's died. Oh, bless her. She's got three children. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there you go, Holly. There's some gossip for you, which pertains nothing to the place that you're about to live in. So, yeah, looking forward to hearing more gossip. We do have quite a contingent of people listening in Canada. So maybe you'd be able to enlighten me a bit further. I know we had a very heated discussion a couple of years ago about Putin, and I said some very defamatory things about cheese and gravy. I mean, get over yourselves. It's not Cirque du Soleil. Maybe you want to call up. Maybe you want to educate me and the listenership on lovely Canada. Okay? Lovely. Lovely to hear from you, Holly.
Hi, Scotty. It's Pablo Griff calling Vancouver. Hi, producers, everyone in the room. I'm calling again to talk about where I'm from. You asked, like, your parents. You asked me about my parents, my folks. So, my parents were born in Derby in England. I and my brother were also born in Derby, England. We emigrated to Canada when the Queen had her Jubilee, and we've been here ever since. I went back there for holidays and school. I moved back when I was 18 and lived there for a year, and then I came back to Canada and went back and forth and been kind of a traveler ever since. So I'm originally from Derby, where they say, "Hiya duck, hiya cock," and all that kind of stuff. And the big Derby joke is, because they say the word cock, is, "You got the time on your cock? Okay, draw."
Lovely. Hello, Pablo. So proving there immediately, Holly from North Carolina, that, you know, you've got some friends. I mean, I don't know how far. Oh, let's have a look. God, it's a lot of me having a look today. Montreal to Vancouver. That will take you, Holly, if you're looking for a neighbour. That is, I mean, yeah, that is very much the other side of Canada, isn't it? Yeah, I've just looked at that. That would be a quick drive of 45 hours. 45 hours from Montreal to Vancouver. I thought they were almost the same place. There you go. They're showing some ignorance. Hello, Pablo. Thank you for coming in. Now, when I said where are your parents from, I didn't need a fucking biography, did I? I didn't need a rundown for about 20 minutes. What do you think this is? Your interview with Piers Morgan? What do you think this is, a biography? Now, dear international listeners and those people living in places of culture, Derby. Derby is a very strange place to have come from, A, and B, to have emigrated from to Vancouver. That is a real leap, Pablo. So if you would like to call back, I'd love to know what stirred that, because you know me, I am more than happy of listening to your entire backstory, Hunt. I don't know what the Queen had to do with it. Why does the Queen's Jubilee have anything to do with you moving to Canada? Would you just get a free ticket? Was there like a thing where she went, "Oh, a bunch of people from the UK, you can all fuck off over there"? Is that her and her family? Like, does Canada still like them? Is that still a thing? I can't remember. I was there just before lockdown. I can't remember if she was on the money or not. I mean, that's literally all it is, isn't it? Not for me. No, thank you. Anyway, Pablo, I need some more gossip from you, please. Thank you.
Hello, lovely people, after the tone. Just leaving a voice note because the new season is starting and I'm mega excited. It's Sasha. I've called in once before, but I am a long-term listener and long-term lover of the podcast. I just thought I'd open a bit of a dialogue because it might be relevant to some of the listeners, potentially. After being one of these people that left my home city to, you know, find myself and do new stuff, and swearing that I would never go back, after 6 years, I am moving back to Bradford, which is where I was born and where I lived until I was 18, which I'm really, really happy about, but I didn't think I ever would be. And I think after all the shit with the pandemic and everything, I don't know, there's just something really, really comforting about, like, being closer to my family and, yeah, like a safe place to kind of, I don't know, kind of reset. So, I don't know, has anybody else moved away and then moved back? How has it felt? Is it going to be okay? And also, just like, hi everyone, I'm really happy that the new season's starting. Bye!
Oh, hi, Saoirse. Lovely to have you back. Oh, do you know what I love about your voice? You're so dead northern, isn't ya? It's so heartwarming. Now, I had never moved back to the place that I'm from because I'm from a place called London. Well, I'm from an estate in North London where when I tell people I'm from there, when I say to people I'm from Kentish Town, they're like, "Oh my God, that's so fancy." And I'm like, "No, hun, I grew up there before middle-class people moved in and renovated the local supermarket and turned it into a deli, you know, pre that." And I don't think I would ever go back. I think too much happened to me there, to be fair, to go back. Wouldn't feel productive to me. But I have darted about the country a bit, and I lived in by the seaside for a few years in Southend because I thought, this is it, I'm going to be living the good life, I'm going to be growing my own, and I did, and it was great, and it was excellent. But the thing that I really found difficult was not feeling like I was part of a queer community or a family in that way. That was very difficult for me to kind of access parts of myself. Now that I live in Manchesterford, it's a very lovely town, and I feel much more of that, and I do feel home here. So If you, perhaps, listener, you can offer Saoirse a bit of advice about what that sort of homecoming is like, because I understand it feels like a big leap. For some of my friends who have done a sort of similar thing, they've battled with feeling like they were going backwards in their life rather than forwards because of their associations with that place. And, you know, they also said those things to themselves. I'd never go back. I'd never go back. So going back there, to some of my friends, felt sort of like a failure, quote unquote. So maybe you can chime in on this. Maybe you've got something that you want to say. Have you moved away from home? Have you gone back to home? How was that, etc.? The number is coming up very soon. Still to come, Nat is back with words of wisdom. Chinese salt and pepper wings are on the menu. Yes, please. Love those. And JRF is spreading their seed. Oh, not again. But first, if you're a fan of ATT, perhaps you want a bit more. Perhaps you'd like access to some backstage gossip, our back catalogue of show notes, polls, gossip, scandal, intrigue. If you do, why not give us a few quid a month and help us keep this place going so you can have something to do with your boring lives? Patreon.com/afterthetone. If you'd like to get involved and fancy sending us a voice note, we'd love to hear your voice. You can respond to something you've heard. You could start a new chat. You might have a question. You could maybe do a little song, just as long as you've written it yourself, because otherwise we're not going to get the rights for it. Just no fucking poems. Honestly, don't be calling up here with poems. You know my thoughts on poems. All you got to do is open up the WhatsApp, send us a voice note to this number. 0788 200 3420. And honestly, we would love to hear from you. You know, there is always room here. The circle can always get bigger. And it's lovely, particularly if you come from lots of different places around the world, just to hear what you're thinking and feeling and in response to other people. Right, Deb, who's up next?
Hiya, Scotty. Hiya, Debs. Tim, Kat, Milo, off the town crew, gang, pub. Sorry, I very, very, very rarely do this where I will pause the episode and then voice note immediately. The cup of tea metaphor and our dear friend who's clearly going through a lot right now. I know exactly how you feel. I think it's a metaphor that's probably quite universal, that this idea of a cup spilling over the edge. And like I say, I dropped that fucking cup so many times this year. Like, it's literally been a year to the day now since I had my full breakdown. And, you know, I've relapsed over this year twice, you know, really, really bad. And to carry that metaphor on, if you feel like you have that awareness of the cup that is in your hand and it's there and you're holding it together and hopefully your vessel is solid, i.e. your body. Yeah, because if you're fortunate enough to like be grateful, and it was really nice just to hear you out walking out and about, so you clearly are making time for yourself to do that. Maybe you're just in between running errands or whatever, but at least you're out and about, and that's really good. So that's always a really nice place to start, to go, okay, well, at least the cup itself is not broken. Like, it might well be shattered to pieces and you glued it together about a million times, but babe, that cup is still holding, okay? So yeah, it's filled. And if it spills, and do you know what? Fuck it. If it spills even just a little slop, a little plop, and you think, oh, I'll just carry on. No, fuck it. Empty the fucking mug and sit down. And sit down and just hold that empty cup of tea. And if that means bawling your eyes out and rocking backwards and forwards and self-soothing in whatever form it is that you need to do, if you need to literally regress to being like you're the five-year-old version of yourself and your adult self has to stand next to you and hug the five-year-old version of you while you bawl your eyes out, then do it, babes. Like, I really, and if you can't, if adult you can't hold the five-year-old you, then mate, I'm here. We're all here and we will hold you and let you cry. And it's absolutely fine. If you need to fucking empty that mug because some cunt keeps filling it up for you, protect your cup. Yeah. Don't let those fuckers fill it up for you. You fill your cup. You decide when you want to sit down and drink from it and enjoy the soothing loveliness and the nutrition of your cup of tea or whatever it hot drink metaphor it is that we're working with here. Okay. You're allowed to. your emotions are fluid. Like, it's, do you know what I mean? I think it's a perfect image. And Scotty, resilience is a bitch, isn't it? Like you say, sometimes you just want to go, oh, fuck off, stop asking me to do everything. I don't even know how to do these things myself. And when you reach that point where you kind of like, I don't even know my own, I don't know, am I rational or am I irrational? Which one is which? It's all blending into one right now. And if it feels like that, because I felt like that, and I know, like, this is, you know, again, I'm, I can only talk from my own experience. But just solidarity, man. Sorry, I'm getting really emotional. Because I love you guys. And you've hugged me. Do you know what I mean? You've helped prop me up. Especially this last year. Because like I say, I mean, I've been here from series one. Don't you forget, my corner of the pub is well and truly tented. but yeah, I'll be sitting here crying my eyes out, because sometimes you just fucking need to, and go, oh, that's the emotion I'm feeling today. All right, okay, cool. Right, well, hopefully I can compartmentalize that and do the other things. But if I can't, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, if the tea's going to spill out anyway, I might as well fucking chuck the whole lot on the grass. And then I'm just going to sit here with my empty cup for a little bit. And just bawl my eyes out, because sometimes it's just really cathartic. And sometimes we all just need a little bit of catharsis. Anyway, love you all. Oh, look, the blackbird's back in my garden. Yep, see, nature just carries on, doesn't it? They don't give a fuck. There you go, be more blackbird. Just, you know, go about your business, getting your shit done. Blackbirds don't give a fuck about other blackbirds, do they? They don't give a fuck about the starlings or the pigeons or none of that. They're just like, yeah, I'm just doing my blackbird thing. And right now, she's definitely a female bird because she's got the brown mottled feather. Oh, it's turned into tweet of the day. Wankers. All right, love you. Bye!
Nat, thank you so much. Such a thoughtful, caring, kind response. And I think one that many people, I believe, echo about this gaffe. People call up all the time and they say it. There's no way of saying that without an ego. dropping the cup. Now, there's a visual I think we can all get behind. Yeah, I've learned over the last few weeks that sanity is very fragile, and perhaps that visual that you're offering me is more useful to me than it, or it's saying loads to me, and it wasn't even directed at me. Full disclaimer, a few days ago I started to have some intrusive thoughts, which were around that I thought my fingers were falling off. I swear to you, I was convinced for about an hour. I was like, well, that's it, that's my finger, that's gonna fall off. And luckily I have therapy very soon after that, and we were able to talk it through, and I was able to rationalize, and I was like, and what happened was I was having what I believe to know is a delusion, because I was going through, and I'm going through this stuff. I'm safe, I'm fine, you don't need to all panic about me. Don't worry, the house of cards isn't going to fall down just yet. And if it was, it should definitely be funded. But the fragility of sanity is like something that's been really at the forefront of my mind over the last week because of that. There is something that I want to softly, I don't think challenge is a big word, question, throw back about this, the strong vessel, which I just want us to be careful about, that we don't get into sort of health elitism or ableism, that we start thinking, well, you're going to be okay if you are crazy, if, oh, burp's brewing, if your body is robust, or, you know, and I don't think that's what you were saying, but I think it's just good to clarify that, because, well, I think there'll be a lot of people who have different experiences, whose bodies do different things, who will be existing with thoughts that their body and their mind is quote unquote failing them. And so I think that's just important to put out there as well, that by a strong vessel, what does that mean?
Hello. Hello, Scotty. Hello, Tim Katmeyer, producer Deb. This is Jojo with her mojo. I haven't called for a while. I'm just stopped the call to say to the caller, very articulate caller who talked about the cup of tea and feeling full and how everything just seems like it's going wrong all the time. And I just want to say, like, thank you. And thank you, Scotty, for being vulnerable and saying those things, because I feel like you said, Scotty, loads of people are feeling like that at the moment, and I have been feeling like this for a while. I had COVID like 3 weeks ago, and I all of a sudden have got loads of work, and capitalism is just too much, and I feel like, yeah, how can we do that? How can we say to people, look, especially with family, like, stop, like, how do you do that without having an argument as well, and being like, just stop being hard on each other? You know, I feel like there's like something behind everybody's eyes that it's not okay, and they are sort of running on empty trying to continue when we've just been through an insane experience, plus everything else that's happening, plus the political climate that is bearing down in the background. So I just want to say thank you, because that's the first time in like the last few weeks that I felt somebody really say what I've been feeling, and to feel like a bit of solidarity. All right, well, till next time, love you all, bye.
Jojo, lovely to have you back. Now, the easiest way that I think I can describe what I feel like collectively, and what I mean by collectively isn't all the millions of people. I'm not Nostradamus. I mean, I'd give it a good go. But within my friendship circle and what I'm experiencing is, you know, Sunday scaries? You know, when you're just about to go back to work on a Monday and you're like, I've forgotten something. I was supposed to do something over the weekend. Monday, there's going to be this thing. I'm going to be in trouble. I would have done, you know, sort of that sort of fear, which maybe normal people don't experience, but I know a lot of crazies do. It's called the Sunday scaries, right? I feel what's happened is the Sunday scaries have just become the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday scaries. Like that impending doom, that sort of low level, oh, something's going to happen, is just sort of present within us. And I do think it's this reemergence from post-pandemic, I believe, they're calling it. I mean, you know, people who work within the National Health Service, I think, would laugh at such a phrase, post-pandemic, because things are opening up again. But I think also we experienced, in a weird way, now this is going to be really quite fucked and comes from a privilege of somebody who didn't lose somebody, but sort of lost the plot a little bit during lockdown. I think what happened during the pandemic was we experienced a different way of engaging socially that I think is going to have a legacy on us for better and worse. The scary thing is, I think I and others have become phobic of other people, in terms of if someone sneezes, I am literally like, what the, you know, it's like the violence behind a cough nowadays is like really the anxiety. Oh my God. Yeah. But it also taught me that I probably only have a capacity for a certain amount of socializing a day. So we've learned some stuff for good and bad coming out of the pandemic, supposedly. But capitalism has just gone, right, everyone go back to normal. Forget everything. Just go back to normal. And I think that's quite frightening, isn't it?
Hi, Scotty. I hope you're well. So I was just scrolling the timeline, as one does, and I noticed that Shisi Gatwa is going to be the new doctor. How brilliant is that? The first openly queer, first capital B black actor to be playing the role of the doctor. Yes, please sign me up for that. The last time I watched Doctor Who was like in 2010 when Rose Tyler was there. But best believe I'll be there, present and accounted for on the premiere episode. I'm just interested to know your thoughts, because I think this is just bloody exciting news, isn't it?
Oh, hello, person. Who are you? You sound like a new person. Oh, I get very excited by that. Yes, I think you're right. It is a moment, isn't it? Particularly when I'm seeing black queer friends share it. They're like, this is a moment. And I'm like, yeah, let's revel in this moment. Let's enjoy it. Now, full disclaimer, I don't like science fiction. Well, when I say I don't like it, I'm not against it, you know. But I mean, regardless who the doctor is, I can't get on board with it. It's a bit make-believe for me. I prefer to watch a bit of telly that's got a bit more grief to it. But that's by the by, because that's only my taste, you know. And I love the fact that that Russell T Davies one has always like tried to make it queer and has said some very brilliant things publicly about it and what it does and what it means to other Doctor Whoites. What do you call people who follow the Doctor Who? Whatever. Anyway, there was something though, some, I believe they call it discourse on the internet, people call it discourse, that I watched between some friends who, it sort of split them into camps, where some of my friends were like, oh my God, this is our moment, we're going to rise, black queer friends. And then there were some other black queer friends who were like, we shouldn't be pinning everything on this. This isn't what we think it's going to be. And I, of course, I don't know the answer to that, but I would welcome some more chat about this, because is it honest? And what do I mean by that? Is it well-intentioned? Is it radical? Is it activist? Is it showing, giving space, giving platform to this amazing talent? And may I say, absolute fucking hottie. Absolute ride. Absolute ride. Or, And I don't know what the or is, but watching my friends have this conversation, I was like, I'm intrigued by this. I want to hear more about it. I don't know if it's my place to hold the position and say, well, let me tell you, black queers, what it's about, you know? But I really am wanting this to be a chat that goes further. Why don't you tell us what you think about it? I mean, I can hear the jubilation in your voice, darling. And hello, welcome. You sound like a lovely soul. I'd like to get to know you more. The others, they can all fuck off.
Hey, it's Chris Banjee. Okay, so Chinese is my thing. Chinese takeaway is my thing. I love it. I live it. If you're not getting salt and pepper chicken wings, there's something wrong with you. Granted, if you're vegan or vegetarian, totally understand it. But salt and pepper chicken wings, see also salt and pepper ribs, are amazing. So flavorful. So much garlic and just perfection. So I always get salt and pepper chicken wings, Singapore chow mein, crispy chili beef, and I usually get like a beef curry or a chicken curry. Never chips. Never ever do chips. But yeah, just make sure you try the salt and pepper chicken wings, because your mind will be blown.
Now, hello, Chris Ranchi, welcome to the room. I don't understand how you could put a hierarchy on salt and pepper goods, produce, etc., and have chicken wings come out on top. What do you mean, see also ribs? No, see also chicken wings. Ribs, numero uno, un, eine, and other languages where one means one. Chicken wings. Ribs. Ribs, honey. Ribs. Number one. There you go. That's your number one. Ribs. Then you said some stuff about some other bits and bobs. And then you said crispy beef. And I was like, yes. Okay, hon. Maybe we could be friends. Yes. Maybe I'm back in the room with you. And then you said never chips. Are you okay, hon? What do you mean never chips? I think I was about 25 before I realised that chips actually weren't from Chinese takeaways. I genuinely thought, well, what a brilliant culture that they've got rice noodles and chips. You think I'm lying? Hun, con patatas every time. Every time. Because what are you going to mop up all that deliciousness with? Oh, so you're like saying, oh, I love the salt and pepper, this, that and the other. Oh, I love all the garlicky stuff. Yeah, try it with chips. Honestly, I'm going to change the world. What are you going to do with all that delicious MSG, honey, sugary syrup that's on the chili beef? You're going to whack that up with chips, hun. Okay? Come back to me when you've had chips with your Chinese takeaway, and then maybe we're going to have a chat. And if you too want to call up and tell me your Chinese order, just be aware that I've got strong feelings on this.
Hiya, Scotty, love. It's that JRF here. How are you? Hiya, Tim. Hiya, Kat. Hiya, Maya. And I, your producer, Deb. Any road? Yeah, what have I been up to? Well, I've been doing my garden. Lots of gardening. Throwing my seed around the garden. and I planted some sweet peas and some cornflowers and some ladybird poppies, some marigolds, and another load of seeds that I can't pronounce. Godichias. I don't know what... They're from one of the listeners. Yeah! I gave the listeners my address. What have I done? But yes, no, some of the listeners to the show sent me some seeds, which is very sweet. So they've gone in the garden. But, you know, please feel free to send me plants, anybody who's listening. I will probably give you my address. You know, I've got a good lock on my front door, so I'm fine. I'm fine. Any road, what was I going to say? Yeah, you and I in a sexy dream. What was that about? Imagine. You know, I'm imagining the other person's a fatty as well. So that'd just be like three boiled eggs rolling around in a hanky. But if they're not a fatty, be like two boiled eggs and a matchstick rolling around in a handkerchief, wouldn't it? But, you know, we are very desirable, Scotty. So it doesn't surprise me in the least that someone wants to take a ride on a fleshy bouncy castle. Pause for laughter. But, yeah, it was lovely doing the little interview with these all. Just missed the sound of my own voice on the podcast, so I thought I'd leave a message. And, you know, just cause, I thought I'd send you a little limerick. So here we go. There was an old puff of Cantoon who took a lesbian up to his room. They lay on the bed and he suddenly said, "Who does what and with what to whom?" Love and light, and God bless you all. And a big kiss from that JRF. Bye.
Well, what do you call this? Fucking gardener's question time. I don't care what fucking seeds you put in here, there, or everywhere, you filthy mare. Also, do not trust A, the listenership of this podcast with your address, and B, with seed. If you tell them to send you seed, I'll tell you what, there'll be some filthy mares that will send you something else. So there's that. Don't trust them, dear. This, actually, I think my take home from this call is about fat sex. Because as you were talking there, JRF, I was thinking about a visual. Calm yourself down. I was thinking about a visual about, would there be a bed generous enough, shall we say? And that got me thinking about how many beds that I've broken, you know, in the throes. Because, you know, it sort of relates back to the fat panic chat, which I'd really encourage us to get on board with, because I've broken many a bed in my time, and that's not to brag. And I think maybe some other fat people have too. So if you have, I'd like to know. Because I think there might be a whole section here about breaking the beds whilst you, you know, having it off with yourself or others. You know what to do. And that's all we got time for. Wow, we've really opened up this week. Steady. We have gone from talking about the new doctor to talking about going back home and what that might mean to return back to the place that you come from. We've talked Chinese takeaway orders. Perhaps you want to get in the conversations about fat panic. Maybe you've got some solidarity, some thoughts and questions to talk about sanity and the overpouring cup. If any of this is rung true to you, if there's anything you want to respond to, any more questions that you have, if you want to keep these conversations going, you know what to do. Open up the WhatsApp and send us a voice note to this number. 0788 200 3420. Join in, honestly, it's a good giggle. I'm really enjoying hearing some new people walk into the room with all that joy and optimism. And as I said, you know, if you are in a location that is not the one that I am currently calling from, please do let us know where you're calling from, who you are, what you want to be called, because this place is yours. Remember, you can also join us on the internet at AfterTheTonePod. Well, that's it from me. I'll see you in a bit, and there'll be more of this sort of thing soon. See you later. After the tone, after the tone, leave your message after the tone. After the tone. After the Tone is presented by me, Scotty, produced by Debbie Kilbride, vice producer Tim Bano, assistant producer Maya Miller-Lewis, digital producer Kat Prill. After the Tone is a Debbie production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.